I love a Christmas Eve service, to come and to be with God's people, to worship God, to magnify and exalt Christ our Savior, to partake of the Lord's table, to remember His death, which is why He came, and to sing by candlelight the glory of Him is just a special day. And I appreciate you coming and being here and making it that much more special. We are going through the book of Luke in our church, if you're visiting with us. We began in late November, Luke chapter 1, verse 1, and we have made it up to Luke 2, and we're going to deal with verses 1 through 7 this afternoon for just a moment. This is what the Bible says. You're all familiar with this portion of Scripture. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And all God's redeemed said, Amen. It seems to me that as we journey further along, and we have many Christmases behind us and more still to come, I just want to remind you that Christmas can't be packed up and unpacked like we do our Christmas decorations. Sometimes I think we, late November, we get Christmas out, and late December, toward the first of the year, we box Christmas up and put it in the attic or put it in the basement or put it in a storage building, and we're done with all of that till next Christmas. But I would remind you that Jesus Christ can't be shoved in a box when you're done. He can't be buried beneath other boxes and then unboxed next Christmas when you want to get Christ out again. Christmas is all about the reality of God coming to us. And so here we have this account by Luke that tells us what that reality looked like, what the reality was when Jesus Christ was born. And as we walk through these verses, I just want to share three things with you this afternoon before we come and partake of the Lord's table. Three things I hope that will encourage you and help you as we move toward Christmas Day tomorrow. Number one, I want to talk for a few minutes about the ordering of these events. The ordering of these events. Nothing that Luke records, nothing that happens that first Christmas happens by accident. Nothing. Nothing by chance falls into place. All of it is being orchestrated and decreed and caused by God Himself. He has already done much leading up to this point, right? He has caused a barren, elderly woman, Elizabeth, wife of elderly Zacharias, to have a child. His name is John the Baptist. A virgin has been caused to conceive the Son of God. None of this has happened by accident. All of it according to the plan and the purpose of an almighty God. And I would just remind you that all things happen according to the work of God. Amen. But I want you to notice a couple of things that are ordered here in the text. Number one, notice the ordering of the territory. the ordering of the territory. Now, you will remember that Mary and Joseph are not from Bethlehem. They don't reside in Bethlehem. They reside in Nazareth. How is God going to pull this off? Because Micah 5:2, the prophecy is that the Messiah will be born in a small town called Bethlehem. And out of the smallest of towns will come the greatest of men. So I don't know, but very possibly Mary could be pondering, how's God going to pull this off? How's God going to get us from Nazareth to Bethlehem? What's God going to do? And then one day, I think probably Joseph comes home and says, comes to Mary and says, Mary, we have to go down to Bethlehem. And she says, why? He says, well, Caesar Augustus has called a census, and we have to go down there and we have to be counted. And Mary says, there it is. God, who is in full control of all things, moves Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem so that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, will be born and will fulfill the Old Testament prophecy of Micah. None of this is by chance. None of this is by happenstance. Over 400 years earlier, God had prophesied that the Messiah would be born in a little town called Bethlehem. And then God makes it happen. And then I want you to notice the order of the timing. Now, I thought about this. God has chosen to send His Savior through the pregnancy of a young virgin. Now, you understand as well as I do that pregnancies aren't exact to the day, to the minute, to the hour. When the doctor says your due date is this date, it could be anywhere from 2 weeks before or 2 weeks after, say amen. So there's no really definite date. And back then, they didn't have all the medical advances we have. And so, you know, God's really going to have to do some things to get Mary in Bethlehem before she has this baby. But He does it, doesn't He? Mary and Joseph wind up in Bethlehem while she is still great with child, Luke says. And so God moves mightily to fulfill the Old Testament prophecy of Micah, and He does it on His time, which is always on time. One of the things we need to realize here is this. No matter what happens, no matter what comes into our life, we need to rest assured that God is on the throne and God rules and reigns, and nothing takes God by surprise. All things are happening according to the will of God. And when we think God's late, God's not late. God is always right on time. And so all that's happening this day, the first Christmas, all of this is being ordained and is being planned and purposed by the God who rules and reigns the entire universe. And so we see the ordering of the events. And I'm glad that God's in charge. You ought to be glad that I'm not in charge. And I'm glad you're not in charge. Amen? I'm glad God's in charge. The second thing I want you to notice here is not only the ordering of the events as God orders the territory in which the Savior will be born, the timing in which He will be born, but notice the objective of these events. Now, here we come to this difficult part of Christmas where we have to decide why Christ came. Because we have allowed culture to make Christmas everything that Christmas is not and was not intended to be. Jesus Christ comes, God gives His Son, God has moved heaven and has moved earth to cause things to happen so that the Messiah can be born, and He has a reason for it all. There is an objective in mind here. Now, we look here and we understand that Jesus Christ is not going to be born in a hospital. He's not going to be born in a palace. He's not going to be clothed with silk and have the finest of things, but Jesus Christ is going to be born where the animals sleep, in the stench and the dirt of all of that. He's going to be laid in a trough, a feeding trough that will act as a manger or a crib. And all of those things, which are very bad for us, I think, but all of those things happen because those things really don't matter. Because the objective God has, those things won't hinder. What is the objective? Well, God sends His Son. God Himself comes, robes Himself in flesh because there is a salvational objective. The reason that God has orchestrated all these things to happen, the reason why Christ is going to be born that first Christmas day, is so that God's people will be able to be saved from their sins. Forgiveness of sins is available only through Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He is the Lord. He will save His people from their sins so that whosoever would come and put their faith in Christ can be saved and forgiven of their sins. Because those who aren't forgiven of their sins, those who don't put faith and trust in Christ and die in their sins, will go to hell. And so Christ has come to save us from hell, save us from our sins. He has come to save us. Don't lose sight of that truth. What God is doing here is He is rescuing people from their sins. He is saving people from the wrath of God that rests upon them. He is here to save. And that's what this little baby will do one day. He will live perfectly. He will die on the cross in place of those who trust Him. There is a salvational objective. But I do want to say something about this submissive objective that seems to be evident here. Here, Christ, born in an area in which animals reside, sleeps in a feeding trough, is born in the dirt and the mire and the filth, isn't applauded, isn't paraded around. Why is all that so? Well, here's what I want to give you. Whatever God has to do for your salvation, God does. And whatever price God must be paid, or whatever price must be paid for your salvation, God is going to pay it. I want you to get that. None of you were born where animals sleep. Your children were born in hospitals with sterile things. Amen? Why is that so? Why did you get it better than Christ got it? Because Christ took the dirt and the filth and the pain so you would not have to. It is a wonderful picture of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is simple. What you could not do, Christ did. You could not live a perfect life, and you cannot live a perfect life, but Jesus Christ did. The payment for your sin is death, but Jesus Christ came, and He took your death for you. What you could not do, and what you did not do, Christ has done for you, so that in His death, you can have life. What a picture of the gospel here, that Jesus Christ, born in the filth and the stench of what we would call a stable, He endures all of that because no matter what the circumstances may be, Salvation is the objective, and Jesus Christ is going to perform it. I want you to go to Christmas knowing this. Whatever had to be done for your salvation, Christ did it. And whatever the cost was, Christ paid it. That for the objective of our salvation. That's why he came, to save us. And then I want to talk thirdly about the obscurity of these events for just a moment. We get this obscurity from the very last thing that Luke says here in verse number 7. Mary brings forth her firstborn son, wraps him in swaddling clothes, lays him in a manger because there is no room for them in the inn. And so what we are led to believe here is that when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, is born in Bethlehem, nobody is expecting it. Nobody is looking for it. Nobody has a clue what is happening that day in their very own town. The Son of God, God Himself in the flesh, comes to save us, and nobody knows it. And maybe nobody cares. Now, why is that so? Well, a couple of reasons that I wrote down here. Firstly, because of a prior feeling. There's no room for them. Why is there no room for them? Because there's a great crowd there for the census. There's a great crowd that has come back to Bethlehem, and there's just no room for Joseph and Mary. Now, I think, and I'm going to just say this, and you can take this with a grain of salt. This is my thoughts. But I think that what we portray as the first Christmas day and Christmas Eve is not exactly true. Luke here tells us that, we kind of think that Mary and Joseph, Mary rides into town on a donkey and Joseph's leading the donkey and she's just about ready to give birth, and as soon as they find a place, she gives birth. But you'll notice Luke here says that they had been there for a while. He says after they had been there for a number of days, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. So it doesn't seem that things happened that quickly, and there's no mention of an inn. The word inn there most normally means a guest room in somebody's house. We would think that Joseph, being of the lineage of David, would have relatives there in Bethlehem, and he would go to their house to stay. But when he gets there, somebody's already in the guest room. Uncle so-and-so and Aunt so-and-so are already there. And these houses in Eastern times would have a little area attached to the house where the animals would come in and they would spend the night. And it seems like that's where Joseph and Mary stayed that night and stayed for a while, it seems like. But you see, everybody missed what God was doing because they were already filled. And you understand that our lives are so crowded, our lives are so filled, our lives are so stressful, that much of the time we miss what God's doing in our own lives. God does wonderful things, God does great things, and we don't even notice them. Why? Because we're already filled. Our attention's already on something else. There's a prior filling here. The guests have already taken the rooms. All there is left is for Joseph and Mary to go out and be where the animals would spend the night. You know, you take for granted a heartbeat until you have heart trouble. You take for granted that next breath until you have some lung difficulties. We so often take for granted the small things in life that God is so gracious in giving us. Because we're so filled, our lives are so filled with things, we miss it. And then there's a present forgetfulness here, I think. You could understand the government not expecting Jesus to be born, the Son of God to be born. You could understand the world. I mean, the world doesn't miss a beat here. They continue to do whatever the world does, even when the Son of God is being born that night. You would expect all that, but where's the church? Where's God's people? Where are those who know the Scriptures? Because they knew that a virgin was going to give birth to the Messiah. It's told in the Old Testament. They knew it was going to happen in Bethlehem. Would nobody expect that this may be the very night that the Savior is born? He said he was coming, but nobody. It seems like everybody had forgotten their own need to be forgiven of their sins, and they had forgotten the promise of God that he said he would send a Savior. This is my prayer for us at Christmas. Not only at Christmas, but at all times, that God would allow us to see two things. God would allow us to see our sinfulness, and God would allow us to see the Savior of our salvation. Christmas is designed to reveal to you both. You see, there's no need for God to come in the person of Jesus Christ to save people who don't need saved. But every one of us needs saved. Every one of us are sinners, and every one of our sins will send us to hell. Every one of us needs saved. May God grant us to see our own sinfulness so that we would look for a Savior. The reason why nobody in America is looking for Christ this Christmas, nobody's noticing their own sinfulness and their need for a Savior. And nobody that night was thinking about their sinfulness and their need of a Savior. Nobody's looking for Christ. They had forgotten their own present condition before God. I would remind you that if you're not saved, you haven't put faith and trust in God, that God's wrath hangs over you. It will follow you all the days of your life. And when this life is over, if you die in your sins, God will put you in hell forever. Those are the truths. But it doesn't have to end that way. It doesn't have to be that way, because God loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son. That whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So I'm asking God to grant the sight of our own sinfulness so that we will look for a Savior. Jesus said he didn't come to those that are well, for they don't look for a doctor. He comes to those who are sick, for they're looking for a physician. And Christ is the physician for your soul. All of these events ordered by the hand of God to bring about salvation to us. And even though it's not noticed, and even though it's obscure, salvation is available through Christ. And I urge you to come to him today. Would you bow your head with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful and grateful for your word. Thank you for that first Christmas that we celebrate at this time of year. We celebrate the coming of Christ, God giving his Son to come and to go through all of the problems and troubles that he did. But the circumstances didn't deviate the objective of his visit with us. He came to bring salvation. And on the cross, Christ sheds his blood so that we may be saved. And so we thank you for Christ, the cross, salvation, and I pray that you would grant us sight of our sinfulness so that we would embrace the Savior, Jesus Christ. As the angel will tell the shepherds, unto you this day is born in the city of David, a Savior, Christ the Lord. May you receive glory. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake we pray. Amen.